Toasty.
This is Pure Decking for Thursday, August the 8th, 2016. I believe it is show 231. I'm Morp. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, the rule of the offended, and stupid internet jokes. Tonight I am drinking cheap oak leaf Merlot. Not terrible. Madman,
did it come in a box?
It came in a bottle.
Ooh,
wow. That's almost fancy.
No, fancy is the mason jar I'm drinking it out of, as opposed to just straight from the bottle.
Now, did the bottle have a cork or a screw top?
Cork. Although it's not a real cork, it's one of those fake kind of rubber things. So, oh yeah, keeping it classy in here. Hey man, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Flat Tire Amber Ale.
Nice. Bucks, what are you imbibing?
Got some Las Vegas Distillery Oak Reserve Gin with a tonic. Yeah.
You are out fancying me tonight.
It's what I had left.
And it, oh, that's just what you're down to, is it?
Well, I was going to save it and, like, you know, drink it with Sard and friends when they hang out, and then I opened it and it's fucking delicious.
Oh, you realize my friends aren't worth this.
No, mainly the fact that it's almost already gone over the last couple days.
It does tend to evaporate.
Yep.
So I saw an interesting video today. It got me thinking about how hard would it be to get into distilling.
Apparently Not that hard.
No, it's not hard. You can buy
now, licensing for it.
Well, we don't do that. No, but apparently you can buy
not hard at all.
You can buy water distillers, quote unquote, on eBay, and they're apparently not even all that expensive. And you can just get they sell it as fast vodka yeast. And the idea is you just pour sugar into, like, boiling water, fill up a carafe or something with it, dump this yeast in, you know, brew it like you would beer, and then distill it. And then pour it through, like, several water filters. So. Oh, and
holy,
throw the first couple of... They did say throw the first couple of shots away. Apparently that's
because that's the type of alcohol that makes you blind and
kills
you.
So that was interesting.
But on other news, you can keep it and sell it for industrial cleaners and mouthwash.
Oh, well, we might have some...
Yeah, that's why you don't drink mouthwash.
Might have some Galaxy 15 brand mouthwash. Quote, unquote.
Or napalm or spider deterrent.
So... All right, so for the discussion, I thought we'd talk about the bitch fight Adblock and Facebook are having.
Oof.
Anybody seen these?
I've seen the headlines for it, and it's kind of one of those things where... go fuck yourself, Facebook?
Yeah, basically. So, I think it was yesterday, Facebook announced that they were going to be actively trying to get around ad blockers. And then today I see this article on Adage... or Ad Age is what the, you know, it's an advertising blog. And, you know, headline, of course, is Adblock Plus claims it already beat Facebook's ad blocking force field. Who the fuck calls it an ad blocking force field? Anyways, Adblock Plus said on Thursday that its community had already found a workaround for the anti-ad blocking tech that Facebook announced just Tuesday. Although Facebook countered that the fix erases more than ads. Well, it's Facebook, so I don't think anybody would really care. This is an early Counter-Strike to what is likely to be a drawn-out contest between Facebook engineers and pesky ad-blocking community. Okay, before anybody gets upset about the word pesky, remember, this is on an advertiser-focused blog. which amazingly enough is not running the there's a couple of websites. What's the one? Not The Verge. Forbes.
Some of the bitch shit about you running Adblock.
Yeah, the Forbes shit that, you know, loses their mind because you're running Adblock. Yeah, this one let me on, even though I'm running Adblock, which is hilarious because I don't turn that shit off. I remember what happened to people who went to Forbes after turning off Adblock. They got viruses. Yeah. So, the fix that Adblock Plus disseminated might also prove to be lacking because it could trap content that's not even ads, filtering out publishers and other organic posts users might otherwise want to see. Adblock Plus warned its users of that possibility. You should be aware that the filter has not been heavily tested, the company wrote in its blog post, adding that if people find the software blocking more than it should, to let them know. Well, of course, it's beta. It's like they put the filter out today. It's like, yeah, it might not be perfect. I mean, no shit, right? So, early tests showed Adblock Plus software is working smoothly. So, anyways, they go on and on talking how about, oh, you know, 20%, you know, Adblock is horrible. 26% of the internet uses Adblock. Yeah. You know, it's a matter of time.
Limiting
they
the
find
potential
a way
for ad
it.
Revenue. Go fuck yourself.
So.
This is pretty much like asking somebody to go into a truck stop whorehouse without a condom. Just because, you know, they make a little bit more money by you not having a condom on.
Well, what I find annoying is the idea that Facebook thinks they have any control over the code my computer runs.
Hmm.
I mean, ultimately, and it's not even because it's ads or not ads or, you know, the same shit with Windows 10 pisses me off. You know, is Microsoft have an engineer listening to everything I say? No, probably not. But it's going
to
database.
Well, because it's you,
somewhere.
Probably yes.
What? I say what?
Because it's you, probably yes.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Anyways, but it's more the idea that somebody else is saying, no, your computer will run this. That kind of pisses
it's
me off.
It's not as much they're saying, no, your computer will run this. It's saying, if you want to use our website, we're giving you this content for free. The way we're making our money is by ad. You allow the ads or pretty much don't use our site.
Well,
now,
and if,
the
they,
only
if that's what they
I have
did,
with that.
Go ahead.
The only problem I have with that is they're not controlling the ads on their site and malware is being dumped into ad. That's the legitimate reason I see why sites that are complaining about me using Adblock don't have a leg to stand on. If you want me to not use Adblock, control your ads. Actually monitor what's being on your site so I don't get a virus.
Sure. And that's there's some fairness to that. And, you know, of course, there's also the whole idea you go to a website that's free and, you know, your screen gets covered in 20 ads. And, of course, everybody remembers the old school pop-unders where you go to one website or even worse, go to a website you didn't mean to go to because you mistyped a URL or something. And the next thing you know, you've got windows that just don't stop popping up. I mean, anybody else ever get that? I know I've vividly remember having to, you know, task kill Firefox because they were coming faster than you could alt F4 them.
Yeah, saving grace was I had a dial-up external modem. I could just reach over, power it off, kill everything, and then reconnect to the internet.
So, anyways, but now if Facebook did the thing that I was bitching about Forbes doing and said, if you're going to run Adblock, that's fine. We're just going to disallow you to visit the website at all, as opposed to actively trying to get around Adblock. I would be okay with that because then it's not this technological cat and mouse going back and forth who's going to figure it out first. It's just, no, our policy says no Adblock. If we detect Adblock, we're just going to block your account, lock you out of Facebook. I would be fine with that. I just don't go to Forbes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if I see a headline from Forbes that I think would be good for decking, I just Google it and find somebody else who's already copied it. You know? I mean,
the reason Forbes does it, not Facebook, is Forbes is the reason you're going there is their content. The reason you're going to Facebook is other people's content. Facebook can't take the Forbes approach.
Well, maybe. But I I would be okay with the arrangement of them just blocking anybody using an ad blocker, but the idea that they're going to actively try to get around it, I think is just silly. Because then you start this one-upmanship, and that's the next article here from TechCrunch. Facebook will soon update code to nullify AdBlock Plus's workaround.
it's keeping Code Monkeys and Cheetos and Tang.
It is that.
The Code Monkey.
It is that. Today's AdBlock Plus workaround to Facebook AdBlock bypass ham-handedly removes posts from friends and pages, not just ads, according to a statement provided by Facebook to TechCrunch. We are disappointed that ad-blocking companies are pushing... Oh, no, wait. Okay, let's read this correctly. Here's the actual quote from Facebook. We are disappointed that ad-blocking companies are punishing people on Facebook as these new attempts don't just block ads but also posts from friends and pages. This isn't a good experience for people, and we plan to address the issue. Ad blockers are a blunt instrument, which is why we've instead focused on building tools like ad preferences to put controls in people's hands. So do they let you just turn them off?
That's bullshit.
Can I just turn them off? Because
their
know?
Ad preferences didn't fix my problem.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't care what ads I'm seeing. I care whether or not the ads are going to fuck with my computer.
So here's the question. Think about something like YouTube, where it would be very difficult for the ads themselves to fuck with your computer. Now, if they get you to click on something, that's another argument. But just, you know, they're just playing an HTML5 video. And yes, I know malware used to ride in on MP4s and Macash. I don't know how to say that format name. the one that used to include subtitles. Get animated a lot. Macarosva? I don't know how to say that format. But I know malware used to come in with those, and WMVs especially used to get them. But the HTML5 plugins are fairly safe, and YouTube has gone nuts with their ads lately. Now AdBlock works on your desktop, but I actually use YouTube a lot on both my phone and I have an Amazon box downstairs that I use to watch on the TV. And the only ad blocker that works on that is some monkey business with my router, and that's not very reliable. In fact, half the time it just breaks. So I've been shying away from that one.
I think it's crazy like how often I will link a video to somebody at work or even a friend's house, and they go to pull it up, and there's like fucking half the page is covered in an ad. And you gotta sit through their fucking commercial, which half the time doesn't even tell you what the fuck they're trying to sell in the 15 seconds before you can skip it. I don't know, it just seems like they're getting more and more grabby with ads.
Oh, they're getting nuts, man. Just as an example, the other day, I saw the headlines about Trump threatened to kill Hillary Clinton and was calling on his followers to shoot her or whatever they had morphed into.
Oh, it was fucking amazing. I finally pulled up that quote.
Of what was reported, but even more so was somebody had linked a YouTube video where it was literally just the quote. It was a 5-second YouTube video. So it's like, well, okay, what was he actually saying? So I go find the whole damn speech, right? And I'm on my phone because I'm at work, and I was just going to just set it down and listen to it while I was doing, user audits, to be honest. But, yeah, that shit's boring as hell, by the way. It's like, do they work here? Yes. Do they have an account? Yes. Do they work here? No. Do they have an account? Yes. Wait a minute. What the fuck?
Something here isn't right.
Yeah. But that's basically what the user audit is. And you go and make sure the people who were fired had their accounts turned off. It gets kind of boring kind of quick. But, it kept interrupting the video to play these fucking ads, and you got finally pull up the timeline and see that an hour video, they've got an ad every 3 minutes, and it's like, what in the hell?
Now that's retarded.
Well, yeah, and because it clears the buffer every time, so it's just like wasting bandwidth too. So it's just kind of like, holy shit. But now here's the thing. YouTube actually offers their paid service and no ads. And because I have several devices where AdBlock is inconvenient to install, I'm seriously thinking about paying it.
Cool.
So, I don't know. Is that
We don't negotiate with terrorists.
So I don't know, but Facebook, I think they're eventually going to pull a Forbes, and if they see the ad block, they're just going to, you know, not allow you to enter the website, which I would actually be fine with. But I mean, there's, I don't know. I mean, you're right, Madman. The agreement is you go to the website, it's provided for free, and you watch the ads to help pay for it. But there is this whole mentality of, you know, no, no, I have a say in what runs on your computer, and that mentality drives me nuts.
My issue, I see it as a two-way street. If they're going to police their shit and keep clean code on their website, then I'll trust to use their website. The problem is, they're not doing trusted advertisements. They're posting just some code, run whatever ad here, and then trusting that whoever their advertisers are watching shit, and their advertisers aren't watching shit. So no one is making sure that malware isn't being stuck on my computer.
Well, that's your job.
Yeah, and the only way I have to do it is ad block. So if they're not going to watch their code, then I have to watch their code, and I'm not going to sit here watching ones and zeros dance across my screen, mainly because I won't know what the fuck any of them mean. I'm going to just stick a program in that just prevents the malware from getting here, and that's going to kill your ads. If you want to straighten up your end of our agreement and police your site, then I will start abiding by my end of the agreement and watch your stupid fucking ads.
Well, not only just the ones that are malware. That's bad. That's the worst of the worst. Don't misunderstand me. But just the ones that are obnoxious as well, where you go on a web page and the first thing it does before you can read anything on it, a big old popover ad, you know, asking you to take a survey. What do you think of the site's content? And, you know, look at these two ads at the bottom. It's like, oh my God. I've closed out of more websites lately than I've read, especially trying to get decking stories, because, you know, if I go to if I'm on a machine I haven't set up AdBlock yet, I mean, it's obnoxious. I mean, it's absolutely absurd that on some of my tablets I can't hardly read some websites because, you know, it does the whole resizing of content thing, and you got rows of ads to the point where the article in the middle is like, I don't know, an inch wide on a fucking iPad. It's
just like, I don't think there's ever been a time that I can remember where I've seen an ad on a website and done the, oh hey, that's really cool looking, I want to buy that. Never in my
There is a time I have seen advertising work, and again, I'm going to use YouTube as an example, but they're not the pre-roll ads and the videos or the banner ads. It's where someone in the video is like, I bought this, or they sent me this review unit, and it's awesome. And here's how it's awesome. That kind of shit works.
Yeah.
The whole
problem with.
Yeah.
But it's the shit that pops up like, you want to buy a Toyota Camry? No. Fuck yourself. I want to watch this goddamn cat video. and it's just, they're annoying, intrusive. I'm never going to click on anything that they want, so they're not even getting click revenue from me. So, fuck off.
Well, the worst is like I was saying with the YouTube, with all the ads on the long videos. Usually it's the same damned ad every time. So not only are they playing an ad I'm never going to click on, they're playing the same ad I'm never going to click on over and over and over again.
It's almost like the same argument. It's almost like the same argument of like, hey, you know that spam folder you got? That's really hurting our ad revenue. If you could go ahead and disable your spam folder, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I see the ads are, just a different type of.
Anyways, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, sure, on a PC where you can install ad block, it's great, but if you're on some other device, which, sad to say, I cannot root right now my S7. There's not a root published for it. They've got the bootloader locked. Gotta wait on somebody to fucking crack it or try to do it myself, but I don't really have the time.
Hey, uBlock Origin runs on Firefox on Android.
Oh, does it?
Yep.
I'll have to give that shit a shot.
And those devices are the ones I think AdBlock's most meant for.
Absolutely. Those are the ones where they charge you by the byte for your bandwidth.
Yeah. I don't have... I still run mostly NoScript, and occasionally I remember to install Adblock. It's currently running. But on the PC, I'm not getting charged by the byte. It doesn't annoy me as much. But when you look to see how much of your data that your phone uses is that isn't something that you want to see or hear or read, it is retarded.
Yeah.
And how many times, like, are you going to scroll through an app and it's like just before your finger touches the screen, it jumps up just enough where you hit that ad, and next thing you know, you get like 15 tabs open in your mobile browser, and it's trying to download some YouTube clip and
going so all over the place. My favorite are the ones on my iPad where you go to a web page and the web browser scrolls off to the side and up pops up the App Store and, hey, install this game. It's just like, what the fuck? Yeah. And do people really go, oh, okay, I guess I'll install this. Fuck you. It's like, how do you... I don't know.
Yeah, if you're giving your iPad to the two-year-old or, like, grandma, it might get clicked on.
Yes. So... anyways, next let's get into the current events here. First one up is from DSL Reports. A court has shut down the FCC's attempt to preempt protectionist state broadband laws that hinder municipal broadband. For years, we've noted how incumbent ISPs have written and lobbied to pass state laws protecting their networks from the threat of municipal broadband. Some of these laws ban municipal broadband, others simply saddle towns looking for public or public-private broadband alternatives with onerous restrictions. In February of last year, the FCC voted 3-2 to try and legally preempt laws in two states, North Carolina and Tennessee. Municipal broadband deployments in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Wilson, North Carolina petitioned the FCC to take action against these laws, arguing they were hindering their ability to expand solely to the benefit of national incumbents. Shortly after that, the FCC announced they'd use Section 106 of the Communications Act to declare portions of those laws invalid, potentially opening the door to similar battles in additional states. But Tennessee and North Carolina sued the FCC, claiming the agency was violating states' rights. Letting companies like AT&T and Comcast write bad state laws that hurt broadband consumers and state business, perfectly okay, however. Regardless, the FCC's effort has failed for now. In a new ruling, the U.S. Court of Appeals and the Sixth Circuit Court argues that the FCC's preemption of these states' restrictions must be reversed because Section 106 doesn't clearly provide the FCC with the proper authority to preempt the portions of the laws that are hindering broadband competition. We do not question the public benefits that the FCC identifies in permitting municipalities to extend gigabit internet coverage, the ruling states. The ruling also makes it clear that the court did not need to debate whether Section 106 provides the FCC any preemptive power at all, or whether Congress could even imbue the FCC with such authority. But as written, the court found that Section 106 did not get the FCC enough authority to preempt state law, even if, as in this case, these laws are clearly being used to protect incumbent broadband duopolies from change and competition. Section 106 does not contain a clear statement authorizing the preemption of Tennessee and North Carolina statutes that govern the decisions of the municipal subdivisions, the ruling said. So, and apparently FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler put out a statement, which we're not going to read because Tom Wheeler is a douche. But, short version, I actually think the court is in the right here, that the FCC doesn't have the authority to preempt state law. I would rather see a lot more competition in the ISP space. I would love to see real competition in the ISP space. And because there's not any, because they've regulated the crap out of it and set up, you know, basically a government handed out monopolies when it comes to the ISPs, well, cable and DSL anyways, they're eventually going to have to regulate it if they don't deregulate and let competition come in, because otherwise it's just going to get stupid. But
it's already stupid. I mean, the fact that you have these companies that are just kind of, they're sitting on old antiquated networks and they don't want to do anything to improve. And they weren't doing anything until companies like Google come along and be like, hey, we're going to throw fiber right in here, right to your house. We're rich. We can fucking do it. And suddenly these ISPs start scrambling and, you know, oh, we asked our customers and they didn't want internet that fast. Well, no, it's because you were going to charge them $1,000 a month for it.
So I you know, honestly, I don't like the idea of a federal agency being able to tell states what their laws are. I think that's a bad idea. But damn it, I want more competition in the ISP space so that my cost of internet goes down, not up.
Citizens of states do have the ability to put a ballot up for vote. Draft a ballot to be voted on that undoes the stupid state laws that the that AT&T have been pushing for.
Yeah, I don't want to get shot by the AT&T goons, though.
I don't think your name has to be on it.
Oh, okay. Well, we might look into this then. I've signed several petitions to get that shit on the ballot, I'll tell you that. Yeah, man, I mean, it's like, you know, who are you voting for here, Satan or Cthulhu? I mean, it's just like, fuck. It's like, I don't want the government to have that kind of power, but I don't want the ISPs as they are currently set up either. What do you do? So
look at the actual problem, which is what is allowing the ISPs to set up that way.
Like, and that competition.
These states have given them monopolies. Just go in and vote away the state's granted monopoly.
Yeah, there is a supremacy clause in the Constitution.
Yeah. Congress can regulate trade between the several states, foreign nations, and Indian tribes. If I live in Tennessee, my broadband network is in Tennessee, the company that is providing it is in Tennessee, what state am I trading with?
My state of mind.
So yeah, this is a supremacy clause in the Constitution says the state has the right for that one.
Yeah, like I said, I think the court is in the right here, saying the FCC doesn't have the right to change state law. I hate the fact that these laws are... I mean, the FCC is trying to get rid of the laws that are allowing these monopolies to exist, right? But they're only saying for municipal broadband isn't, no, government can set up internet too. Well, I mean, that's fine, but I'd like to see like 30 ISPs in an area competing for business, not two.
I think anyone that wants to set up an ISP should be able to.
Well, and the hard thing was, like, the FCC is a communications oversight body. I don't disagree with what they're doing. I disagree that they're part of the dysfunctional government snafu that just would kind of mire everything down. Like, yeah, the law is gone now, but the SEC says you have to jump through, like, these 27 hoops to get in there because they got lobbied for whatever by the ISP. Like, it's never going to be this, like, cut and dry thing unless you get, like, a third party in there saying, you know, we're going to start doing this and fuck off otherwise.
I mean, that's the reason you hear people talking about net neutrality and the FCC regulations and, you know, this is because there's not enough competition. You have a choice of approximately 3 cell phone providers and you one of 4 ISPs depending on where you live. Usually it's only one or the other, DSL or cable. Pick your company based on where you live, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, I guess you could get satellite internet, but bullshit.
Satellite internet is DSL.
Yeah.
But it's satellite up, company. DSL down. No, wait a minute, I got that backwards.
Backwards, yeah. But, and then there's usually sometimes there's some commercial ISPs, but then you're talking about having a lease line ran from wherever the node is to your house. That shit can't be cheap. I wouldn't mind seeing something where you set up a cell modem at your house, you know, and you can just get from like 1 of 5, 10, 20, 30, whatever. And, you know, you're on a wireless network because that way you're not – the big reason cable and DSL have these lock-ins is, you know, the infrastructure, the copper lines running to the house, right?
That the government paid for.
Exactly. But, you know, they've manipulated the system. So, fine. We're going to just assume that, you know, yeah, you're not going to win the fight when it comes to the actual wires. But with wireless, fuck, who cares? You know, just, you know, you have your spectrum. You have your equipment that talks that spectrum. And you can set up as much bandwidth as your spectrum allows, and there's no reason you can't have 10, 15, 20 different people competing for it, especially since they got rid of the old analog TV lines and freed up tons of spectrum. So, I don't know.
And even with the copper line, I think it's my cable box that tells the cable company that I'm their customer. Couldn't we just have, I don't know, cable boxes from four or five different companies on the same cable line?
Yes and no. I mean, you still have...
I know there's still a set amount of data that the cable itself can carry.
You would need... Well, you know, that's been going up every year. They've been finding more and more ways to squeeze more bandwidth on that copper pipe. But you would still need some sort of a agreement or kind of a regulatory system of saying, okay, Company A has this frequency, Company B has this frequency. I mean, yeah, sure, it's on the copper line instead of the air, but you'd still need some kind of agreement between them so they don't jam each other. Because and all it takes is, you know, well, one asshole with a 100 megahertz crystal and, you know, some spare time to just destroy everyone's connections. Although I'm
fairly
certain...
That's what the FCC is already there to do.
I'm fairly certain most cable companies already use the majority of that pipe for their different services. That's why you get your internet, your TV, and your phone all through one pipe. They're all just running at different frequencies and talking to different parts of the spectrum on the wire.
Goes on the same pipe, doesn't cost that much, but they're going to jam it in your ass for every set of frequencies you're picking up.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I think you could be onto something, Madman, with the, you know, having the companies agree and, you know, okay, you're on this segment of pipe and, you know, the company gets this frequency to work with on that wire, and maybe, but
you might be able to turn monopolies into duopolies, or I forget what it is when there's three.
Mafia? No.
Three cable companies, and then the cell providers get in on it. It's at least more competition.
Oh, and that's what we need, because then if you had one of them start pulling this net, you know, it's like, oh, well, we're going to filter torrents. Well, the people who care about torrents would just go to somebody else. And if there's enough people, well, they wouldn't even bother because, well, they don't want to lose their customers. So it wouldn't even be an argument if there was actually competition in the space, is my point. Wouldn't need the FCC stepping in and saying, well, we're going to allow municipal broadband, and, you know, then having a court saying, I'm sorry, but you can't write state law for them, you know, if there was enough competition in the space. You know, it's like, if you want to go buy a hammer, you know, you can get a hammer for $2 and it will work just as well as the $15 model, and there are thousands to choose from because there's lots of companies making them. You have, you know, five choices of ISP in an area, and I'm being generous, but it's more like two or three, and that's including if you want to do the whole cell phone thing. Yeah, none of them have to play particularly nice because pretty much all have you locked, you know? So, not to mention, none of those businesses are growing anymore because they're all geographically locked down. It's not like your cable company has new customers to rein in an area, you know? I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, the boundary lines have been drawn, and the only time they expand is when one company sells a chunk to the other.
Yeah. So, that's the reason prices go up every year, is because, well, they got to show profit every year and come up with new services to offer, fine, but they don't do that. They just, you know, there's no competition in the space, so they just squeeze harder. And, fuck, I don't pay for TV anymore. The only service I get through them is internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a phone call until I cussed them out and pretended to be a racist about once a week with them trying to sell me more services. By the way, that's a great tip. If you want to get companies to quit calling you, just start saying the most racist shit you can come up with on the phone. They'll put you on a do not call list for harassment.
Why the Microsoft guy is listening in on Morph's computer?
The fake Microsoft people quit calling me after I started calling them horrible things over the phone. you know, string them on a little bit. You don't sound quite American, boy. And then just go from there. And, yeah, I didn't get a call from them for 6 months after I pulled that shit. Now, the next time they called me, I was out in public, so I couldn't exactly go on. You know, kids around. But, it's like, fuck. You look around and you realize there's children around you, so you can't exactly, you know, call them the cum-guzzling, you know, sand whore that you want to call them. But, yeah, they leave you alone. You just, like, you know, it's just like, I'm just going to repeat the absolute worst shit. What would 4chan say? Just think, what would 4chan say? You let it roll out of your mouth, or you could go for broke and say, what would Big Brother say? And they put you on a do not call list, especially if you can get them yelling at you over the phone. Like, you cannot say these things. You cannot say these things to me. You called me.
I can say whatever the fuck I want. My country has freedom of speech. You don't have to like it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
So, yeah, they leave you alone real quick, and usually they put you on a list of not to call this person because, you know, they'll harass your people. So, I suppose you could just open up, like, really horrible porn and just play the speakers through your microphone on your phone, too. That might work. Oh, my mom!
Religious debates with them,
dude. My mom is worse than I am. She brought up Angry Birds on the iPad because she kept getting a call from somebody trying to get a charity donation out of her. So she started just opening up the Angry Birds app on the iPhone, putting her phone next to it, and walking away, leaving that theme song playing in the person's ear, saying, "Oh, hang on, I'll be right back," and you know, just leaving that. It's like, damn. Got one of those air horns from a dollar store. Yeah. That didn't last long. Dad threw that away. It's like, fuck no.
I bet you don't have something like a soundboard or something. I've got balls of steel.
Who the fuck was that?
It's a 50 minus DKP. Toasty.
Yeah, that'd be worth doing, wouldn't it?
Yup.
All right, next article up is from Ars Technica. So Microsoft kind of proved the point we were talking about a few weeks ago, where the government was asking the technology community to prove that a centralized backdoor key was a bad idea. So Microsoft has inadvertently demonstrated the intrinsic security problem of including a universal backdoor in its software, after it accidentally leaked the so-called golden key, which allows users to unlock any device that's protected by secure boot, such as phones and tablets. The key basically allows anyone to bypass the protections or provisions Microsoft has put in place to prevent malicious versions of Windows from being installed on any device running Windows 8.1 and up with secure boot enabled. This means that while enterprising users will be able to install any operating system, Linux for instance, on their Windows tablet, it also allows bad actors with physical access to a machine to install bootkits and rootkits at deep levels. So basically, we're back to where we were with the BIOS. Mm-hmm. You know, most people turn secure boot off anyways the first time it screws with the machine. So worse, according to the security researchers who found the keys, this is a decision Microsoft may be unable to reverse. The golden key was found by My123 and Slipstream in March of this year. They just posted on a rather funky website a description of both Microsoft security errors and its seeming reluctance to patch the issue. The researchers further note that Snappu is a real-world demonstration of the lack of wisdom in the FBI's recent demands for use of universal backdoors. A backdoor, which Microsoft put in a secure boot because they decided not to let the user turn it off in certain devices, allows for secure boot to be disabled anywhere. You can see the irony. Also, the irony that Microsoft themselves provided us several nice golden keys, as the FBI would say, for use for that purpose. Yeah, and then the statement goes on and on. So, pretty much, the researchers found, like, the password to turn off secure boot. Like, Microsoft's backdoor.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Since they found it, you can bet other people have found it, which means bootworms and shit like that are going to be a thing again. But,
the optimistic part of me wants to say that the FBI will look at this and like, oh, maybe these universal keys aren't a great idea.
No, they won't.
But that's never going to happen.
No, they're going to look at that and say, Huh. Well, we're going to have to kill those kids for publishing the publishing our keys.
Yes. National security. You're a terrorist.
We're banning numbers again.
You got a pass, go. Go directly to Guantanamo Bay.
Sir, you look like a brown person to me.
I'm as white as mayonnaise. What are you talking about?
So, how many times do you face Issa Day?
I don't own a compass. I don't know.
Yeah, sounding terrorist to me.
Speaking of terrorists, next story is from abcnews.au. A U.S. judge has tossed out a lawsuit accusing Twitter of abetting terrorism by allowing Islamic State propaganda to be broadcast using the messaging platform. We talked about this when it first started, and we were hoping it was going to get thrown out because it's kind of stupid. District Court Judge William Orrick granted a motion by Twitter to dismiss the case, reasoning that providing a platform for speech is within the law and the company did not create the content. The Communications Decency Act protects online platforms from being held responsible for what users post. The suit was filed in San Francisco federal court by families of two government contractors killed late last year while working at a police training center run in the United States in Amman, according to court documents. A Jordanian police captain studying at the center shot the two men to death, and IS militants later claimed the captain was a lone wolf working for the group's cause. The judge recounted his ruling, as horrific as these deaths were. Under the CDA, Twitter cannot be treated as a publisher or speaker of ISIS hateful rhetoric and is not liable under the facts alleged, Judge Orrick said in the decision. The suit accused Twitter of providing material support by letting accounts spread the message of the extremist group. The judge left open the option of refiling an amended version of the suit. So, as horrible as it is that these people died, you can't hold Twitter responsible for it because some of their users are assholes.
Yeah.
It's a good ruling for a bad company.
There you go.
Because Twitter has already shown that it is willing to ban people for speech that Twitter doesn't agree with. It's just that Twitter doesn't disagree with ISIS.
Well, that, or they just don't know that they're on there. I mean, you think about how big the Twitter service is. The only way they're going to know about this shit is if somebody sends them reports and complaints about it and enough numbers that it comes up through their filters.
ISIS channels have as many followers as Milo, who's the first and only person banned from Twitter.
Well, I know. My point, yeah, though, is they have to get enough attention for somebody who works there, because Twitter's got the Google problem. Nobody actually works there. It's all automated.
I understand that, and I can see that they won't be able to stop every ISIS account because they'll just open up another one. I'm simply pointing out that they haven't stopped any of them, and they haven't tried. Not saying that they should legally have to try, because it is still free speech. I'm just pointing out that they already ban people and censor for content. They're just not banning those people or censoring that content.
Oh, sure, they're inconsistent as hell. I'm not arguing that.
So they have the ability. They just don't.
Sure, but you know, you own firearms. You have the ability to solve all kinds of problems, but you don't.
But I don't.
So,
that's why I was pointing out that they were a bad company. It's a good ruling because no one should be forced to curtail speech.
Yeah. Sure. I don't like Twitter very much either, but I'm not gonna bash them because they have, you know, assholes setting up accounts and using them.
Yeah, it starts a slippery slope of trying to make the content provider responsible for the content posted by its users. When you get to that kind of a scope, it's just impossible to.
No. You can bash someone for setting up something and using it. That's not censoring them. That's pointing out that they're being stupid. I can bash StormFags all day. That's not preventing whatever ISP is hosting their sites from hosting it.
But, I mean, they shouldn't have banned Milo. But if Milo wanted to, he could easily set up a new account anyways.
I was just pointing out their hypocrisy.
Oh yeah, they're total hypocrites. I'm not gonna argue that. But, you know, the idea that they could be held responsible for something one of the users said is kind of dumb. So.
Oh no, I don't think they should be held responsible, and that's why it was a good ruling. I just wanted to point out they were a bad company.
Yep. All right, next article is from Torrent Freak. Nintendo takes down fan-made Metroid 2 remake.
So, aww. Are they going to make fan more Metroid?
Yeah. 30 years ago, Nintendo released its action-adventure game Metroid on the Famicom platform. This Saturday, to coincide with the anniversary, a group of game makers pooled their resources and released their AM2R, another Metroid 2 remake game, for free. In response, Nintendo sued them. An astonishing 3 decades have passed since Nintendo first unleashed Metroid on a still young video game market. Blah, 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 blah. Another Metroid 2 remake has been in development for more than 10 years based on Metroid 2 The Return of Samus. It's a game written by fans for fans after the demo version was released in 2014. This Saturday, the full version landed free of charge. Finally, this is the first full release of AM2R. You'll be able to download the complete Metroid 2 like you never did before, a post by developer Dr. M64 revealed. It was a long journey. I grew up both as a person and a developer alongside this project. Today I can start sharing with you the rest of the game. There's lots of improvements and features planned for the future. The release delighted the gaming press with shouts of brilliant and hot, 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 but it appears Nintendo is attempting to pour cold water on the flames using the DMCA. According to the announcement this morning by leading Metroid fans site Metroid Database, Nintendo took exception to the site hosting the game files and filed a complaint with its web host. And so the Twitter post was, Nintendo has hit us, meaning the website host, with a DMCA takedown notice so we can no longer host the AM2R file. A follow-up, Metroid Database lead designer Infinity's Edge published the full email, which was sent. So, looks like a fairly standard DMCA takedown notice for Metroid. They don't actually name... Okay, they name the AM2R files, but they say it infringes on copyright for Metroid 2, Metroid Super Metroid, Metroid Prime, Metroid Prime 2 Echoes. Yeah, so they list all the Metroid games. Yeah, this is a bog-standard DMCA takedown. It's not a custom-written one. Why Nintendo is prepared to target Metroid Database for the takedown, not the official site, is unclear. However, the official site is currently only linking files hosted elsewhere. Torrent Freak has reached out. In the meantime, DMCA notice published by Kickstarter in June confirms that lawyers have acted on for Nintendo and early Metroid copyright cases. So, what's going on here is I don't think anybody at Nintendo is making active decisions to block this thing. I think they're more just their automated shit is saying, oh, Metroid game. Somebody's released a pirated Metroid game. They're not saying that.
I think it's falling under one of those things with copyright law where if they fail to defend their, you know, patent, property, whatever,
they lose it.
In this case, they lose it completely. So they have to at least throw a, you know, they throw the blanket, you know, and email out there of, hey, you're stealing our shit. But then they can, these people can obviously come back and fair use or parody or, you know, some other form of.
Yeah, it's not parody. I mean, it's obviously a fan's remake. I mean, it's not a.
You know, a better way of handling this from a corporate perspective would be to. Buy it would also. I think there would be an easier way to do it since these were fanboys.
You just ask them for it.
Walk up, shake their hand, say thank you. Here's your official Nintendo license, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Come to our next game expo. You're awesome. And thank you for being a Nintendo fanboy.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
It's advertisement.
But what Nintendo has a horrible, horrible record when it comes to people doing fan works. Apparently on YouTube, it is amazingly difficult to post Let's Plays of Nintendo games because they just take them down left and right. But, so I'm just Googling real quick here, AM2R download. And there's a lot of, there's a torrent for it. Mostly I'm seeing news about the takedown. Oh, here's the official project blog. Let's just say, as you may know, AM2 received DMCA takedown notice on all the download hosts and some parts of the blog. So far, no cease and desist letter was received. Project began a long time ago. Artists offering help. They're going to keep working on it privately. They're working on figuring out how to release it. So, with any luck, Nintendo will reach out to them and they'll be able to negotiate a license or just give the game to Nintendo. It's like, hell, Nintendo, here, put it out on your console. I mean, come on! You know, or put it, what's the thing on the Wii where you can download the old NES games?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Whatever you can buy them through the Nintendo store.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo could just walk up, ask them for it. You know they'd give it to them. It's like, yeah, sure, here's your license to distribute it free on the internet. We're going to put it on the console and charge $20 for it or whatever. You know, I mean, come on. So,
on that one, I think they should also pay the guys. If they're going to give it away free on the Nintendo console, then yeah. Just be like, fanboys, thank you. We're not going to sue you. Here's the official paperwork, so we're still technically defending our copyright. And thanks for buying our shit. I think these people probably bought Metroid games. I'm reading some blurbs
right now that's saying, like, so that law firm that issued the takedown notice, like, it's not even really affiliated with Nintendo. They've been the law firm to go to for Nintendo to deal with all their other lawsuits that they've worked in the past on these things, but that's why they haven't put out a cease and desist yet, because they don't have the power to do that, power to issue out takedown requests. But I think it would actually take involvement from the actual corporation for like, they'd actually have to go to a proper, you know,
yeah,
runner.
They'd actually have to file a license.
They'd have to actively do something rather than this passive shit.
Yeah, so, this is just a passive, like, law firm A that is employed by Nintendo looks and sees a Metroid thing, blasts it with the takedown notice, fucks up the site that it's coming out of, and
yeah, they didn't even talk to him first. Yeah, because I'm willing to bet if somebody at Nintendo saw this, they would have done something different. You know? Because, yeah, this is not only is it free advertising for Nintendo, this is like, this could be a major publicity win for them, you know what I mean? But, although, I will say, the torrent I found just came down, took about 5 minutes, and so far looks clean. I'll hit it with the scan here in a minute. Not that I expect the AV scanner to actually find anything decent, but you never know, right? So, but yeah, I mean, I just pulled it down off torrent, 2 second Google search. So
yeah, see, there's an entire subreddit dedicated to it. People have 100% playthroughs, so it's obviously out.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's the failure to understand of once it's on the internet, if you try to make it go away, it's it'll never go away. Sort of like when they they got that picture of I think it's Beyonce looking stupid at one of the Super Bowl games that they've tried to get rid of, so therefore it shows up everywhere.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
I saw her at the Olympics doing the weightlifting.
Oh, is that what?
I can find it.
Anyways, next article here is from the Daily Dot. Simple hack unlocks 100 million Volkswagen vehicles. Some 100 million Volkswagens are vulnerable to hackers who discovered key vulnerabilities that allow them to unlock the doors of the most popular cars on Earth, according to a new research paper first reported by Wired. University of Birmingham computer scientist Flavio Garcia was already widely known for working with colleagues to find major flaws or security flaws in Volkswagen last year that enabled hackers to quickly take over a keyless car. The new attack could result in the theft of anything kept in the car. When you put the two attacks together, you have a recipe for getting into and driving off with a stolen car. So,
also known in earlier terms as a brick.
Yeah, so apparently attacks are highly scalable, potentially be carried out by an unskilled adversary. Since they're executed solely via the wireless interface, at least in the range of the original remote control, and leave no physical place. It's Trey say proposed a yeah. So somebody's figured out the keyless entry system.
I am not surprised, but I am also kind of happy.
It's kind of funny, but so you put the guy's two attacks together, and apparently you don't need the key anymore. You just get in the car and drive off.
Now the question is, can my Wi-Fi card transmit on these frequencies?
Apparently yes, because the rest of the article was talking about using like a TI Chronos smartwatch to do it.
Oh, so, fucking amazing.
I just...
I kind of want a new car.
So it's like the same thing, like all these home automation things. Like, I have an electric lock on my house. I open up with my smartphone. Uh-huh. Yeah, everyone can open up the lock on your house with their smartphone now.
Yep.
Because they're probably not the securest thing out there.
Oh, that's a fantastic picture, Fox. I just now opened that. That's going in the IRC. You guys, Cycross, you have to marvel at this. Like a paste. Switched out my terminal programs recently, and I'm still getting used to a different key shortcut. Anyways, you know, it kind of works, actually, is that photo.
I wonder what she was originally doing now.
Singing.
Yeah, I barely remember what the original thing was.
It was a show for the Super Bowl.
Something that would have gone away if she had ignored it, but because she made such a big deal, now it's fucking everywhere.
Yep. So, let's see. Next article. Not really much to discuss. Chrome is finally going to start blocking Flash. So, Flash is officially going away with Chrome 53, and Firefox has said I think they're going to start blocking it in 50. So, yeah. Hopefully all the browsers are going to start blocking Flash. They're saying by the end of 2017. So, hopefully the Flash plugin will finally die. Although the player on the website for the stream is Flash, I should probably update that at some point. I don't even have Flash installed on this machine anymore, and I had to use Chrome's built-in Flash to check the stream earlier because I don't have it installed. But anyways, next article. Oh, this is cool. So this last article is from Business Insider. Show this in all the chat rooms. There we go. Paraplegics who learned to control an Iron Man-like exoskeleton with their thoughts appeared to regain some feeling and function in their legs as a result of training regimen, according to a new study. The study, published Thursday in the journal Scientific Reports, describes how a year of training enabled participants with spinal cord injuries to recover some sensation, voluntary muscle contraction, and control over bowel function, evidence of neurological recovery that authors were not expecting. Four of the eight participants had their paralysis reclassified to a less severe level, although they still did not have control over most of their leg muscles. Turned out that 6 months into the training of those patients, we started realizing that the patients were experiencing an improvement in their neurological function, said Dr. Miguel Nicolas, a Duke University neurobiologist and senior author of the paper. The training relied on what is known as brain-machine interface, which decodes the brain signals into output aimed at enabling movement. The study, which took place in Brazil, is not going to immediately change the course of therapy for thousands of people with paraplegia around the world. Eight participants together took part in more than 2,000 training sessions to achieve a small and what might not be sustainable gains. Yeah, the results suggest that by using their thoughts to control the external device, participants were also jump-starting some long-dormant nerve networks and connections in the brain and spinal cord. So, I'm going to quit reading the article here, because the gist of it is that they were hooking these guys up to exoskeletons to see if they could, you know, do the whole BCI and, you know, have the robotic walker, basically. You know, they'd have the exoskeleton over their legs and they'd be able to get up and walk around with them, right? But they figured out that some of them actually started getting better because they were using their muscles again and they were trying to move their legs because the machine was supposed to be decoding those movements.
Yeah, they think about that muscle moving. It gets moved by the machine.
And it starts reconnecting the nerves.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's pretty fucking amazeballs.
They weren't even trying. They didn't think that was going to happen. They were just trying to get them, you know, get something better than a wheelchair, right? So, yeah. That is awesome and a fantastic side effect. And I think it does suggest that with the right kind of stimulation, you might be able to heal some of these injuries. So, I hope they keep doing research into that because I think that's awesome. And, you know, I want a Ghost in the Shell body before I'm, you know, die of old age, but that's just right. Me.
Are they able to see any actual nerve regeneration? Like,
yeah, they're neurological.
Foreseeable, like where they can scan it and actually see the nerves coming back together. Is it just these guys feeling it?
They said they were reclassifying some of their paralysis. So, that's, to me, says that they were seeing marked improvement. Like they were seeing bowel control that they didn't have before. I suppose it could also be that because they're only talking about 8 people. It could just be that some of these people weren't as injured as they thought that they were, and you know, the whole placebo effect, right? But even so, still cool. Let's move on to this. Yo! Hadouken! So the first thing I have up tonight is from the Newegg Business blog. And it's fantastic. It's 80s IT posters. I need to make some large prints of some of these and hang them up at work.
You need to throw links into the chat too.
Yeah, I do. You're right. There you go. So it's these 80s posters. And it's like, you know, did you remember to back up? Or he forgot to back up his data. Did you? And it's a picture of a DOS prompt saying, cannot read hard disk. And a guy looking sad. And it's definitely 80s deco art, you know, kind of techno-ish.
Oh, these are awesome.
It's got a couple about passwords on here. Mum's the word. Oh, the mum should not be the password. You know, the picture of corporate, you know, information is an asset for corporate assets. Did you log off of your terminal? You know, handle sensitive information with care, and the big eyes, and very, very... Like, I want this shit on a mouse pad. You know?
Yeah, with those cheap mouse pad sites, you can, hey, print this image out, throw it on the mouse pad. That would be super easy to do.
I need to do that. I need to, like, make a bunch of these and, you know, just replace some people's mouse pads that works with these. I think these are awesome.
Yeah, I know it's coming out on some of the color printers.
So next, in the vein of all Digital Dojo is pictures tonight. So and next, I have a fantastic,
which works so great with a radio show.
Absolutely, but that's why we're posting links. The next thing is from the Hackaday blog. Somebody put together a fantastic Vim movement commands cheat sheet. So looks nice. I may be the only one in this conversation who actually uses Vim on a regular basis, but you know, it's got a couple on there I wasn't aware of, so that's kind of handy. It's nice. And then finally, I have the somebody on Reddit put this together. This is a fantastic little infographic that he's got his GitHub linked in the picture to IOVisor. Wait, that's not his name. Brendan Gregg is the guy's name, but he called it the IO Advisor. But pretty much, he's got a graph of the Linux stack, basically. And then he's got callouts from all that stack of the different tools you can use to monitor that part of the system. So he's got a couple of different commands there.
I'm linking that right now.
Yeah. You know, he's got some different callouts for monitoring different applications, like parts of the network, you know, where to monitor, you know, different links in the, like, you know, of course, proc CPU info for, you know, watching the CPU, turbostat, some stuff for watching the DRAM. Hell, he's even got a command in there for watching your fan speeds. So, you know, he's got a bunch of stuff in here for just keeping an eye on what the hell your system is doing in Linux, especially if you're trying to do like performance profiling. So again, fantastic infographic. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So that's all I've really got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream, always working on it, Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site, Twitter handle, which I don't think even updates anymore because I don't remember when it broke, and I never bothered to fix it because fuck Twitter. the feedback forum, which I don't think works either because I never check my email. The subreddit is the best place. So if you want to send me a message, Morps on Reddit is probably the best way to do it right now, because I actually get that one. I used to have more free time to go through this shit. I really did, I promise.
How dare you get a life?
It's not a life. I'm working. That's the problem. But actually, mentioning the subreddit, go to it here, because somebody had an interesting question in there I noticed the other day. They were actually asking a couple of things about the old IHN show and how many listeners we get, and yeah, here it is. So KDD had asked, he said he'd been listening to Decking for a while. He was curious about statistics. Well, the truth is we have no idea how many people actually listen to this stuff. We really don't. Especially because I took that huge hiatus when I took the new job. And geez, it was probably 4 months, 5 months since, you know, that I was off not doing Decking. I probably lost several listeners there. For a while there, we had Chinese listeners, which I thought was the weirdest damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun times.
That's Japanese, dude.
Planty eye. That's my defense. Either way, the guy was really nice. He even asked us to be slightly less racist because he wanted to use it as a teaching tool.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, I think it's hilarious. You guys are really funny. I know you're joking, but I wanted to show this to students. Can you be less racist? I'm like, fucking yes, dude. For you, I'd think about it. I mean, I'm not going to guarantee
anything. We did fail at being less racist, but that's because we think the racism is hilarious. I mean, you know, shit, when one of the show segments is, you know, got this in it. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's better than it was, though.
Oh, the old one that said Me Love You Long Time in it?
Well, that one, Me Love You Long Time, and then it's like, okay, everybody on the stream, make the most racist comment you fucking can.
Well, that only lasted like a week.
Yeah, but it was there.
It was a week.
It was there. Yeah.
Like, make the most stereotypical 70s kung fu noise you could make.
we did, too. It was great.
We should have just pulled up clips from Fist of the Dragon.
Yes. Yes, we could do that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, anything's got to be better than... Although, well, better not say that around BSV. That is his intro.
I was expecting the Nananasard.
You know, I don't actually have that on the soundboard. Trash for a minute, I'll get that loaded up.
That is disappointing.
Stretch.
Oh, Stretch. Yeah.
So, did we ever start doing I Have Nothing?
I have testicular...
That is the wrong sound effect.
Well, we're talking
in my defense, the RU ball cancer sound effect is literally right next to they're right next to each other in that file listing, dude. I'm sorry. I did not mean to grab ball cancer.
I gotta see if I have the old boob mittens rant saved somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure I have it somewhere. But
yeah, it'd probably help if our, you know, host in chief wasn't taking care of his ailing in-laws and got burned out on it for a while there. I guess IHN comes back every once in a while, especially like if we do meetups or anything. But
well, that was the second question the guy had, was that he heard the IHN special edition. He's like, where the fuck is the rest of that? And it's like, oh, geez.
Well, I mean, that got us our most popular amount of listeners.
The problem with it is that, one, it was hosted on a different site. And true. I think it's gone. I don't think the original IHN site is even up anymore. And two, I thought a couple of us had the complete show. I actually don't. I thought I had them all. I don't. I've only got about half of them.
Or you might still have them, depending on which... hard drive is not on fire.
Yeah. Now, what do you think the chances of getting RU to actually upload them all somewhere are?
Yeah. You would probably upload it to the Galaxy 15 site. I mean, it's not too difficult to do an upload there.
Well, but they're unsorted, and I mean, it's huge, man. It's a couple of gig.
Yeah.
And we probably would hit a space limit on the G15 site doing that. So, I mean, it becomes a legitimate concern of how the hell would we even get them around.
Ooh, and, YouTube.
And that channel just got banned. Like, what happened? Well, we started uploading IHN, and then YouTube, you know, said, we're giving you the Milo, and that was it.
YouTube
it's gone.
But
like,
no,
it's like
no.
You all do realize we were being racist to make fun of racists, right?
They do realize we were a very inclusive show. We had transgenders as hosts.
You're not wrong.
We didn't not even really wrong. Make fun of them for that.
No,
for that part of it. I mean,
there were so many other things to make fun of him for. When you have a list that big, the most normal isn't the one you go after.
So the question is, really, if we wanted to bring IHN back, we'd have to go back to Second Life to do it to really get that feel and that horrible audio quality.
I don't know. It's been a couple of years. They might have updated it. I mean, I'm not holding my breath or anything, but...
There are still fields of penises waving in the breeze and a sadistic pink bunny dropping seeds.
Well, I'm sure there is. It's Second Life.
BSV was getting those zombies returned to him for literally years. So they wander off
or
in somebody's
land. Maybe there
land
were some cats that may or may not have been strapped to toast that was buttered.
Well, they eventually started generating anti-gravity, which was a feat in a video game. So, I mean, actual anti-gravity. The monitor was floating around. But, anyways... Yeah, so I did want to acknowledge this guy's question. Just like, there's some very real issues with getting any of the old IHN stuff and throwing it up because, I posted back in the thread that I'm pretty sure IHN predates G15 by like 2 years.
Oh, yeah, I'd say definitely. We were running in Second Life in like 2010.
Yeah, at least that far back.
At least two, yeah, I think 2009, 2010, we were in Second Life.
So,
and I don't even know, and a lot of those didn't get recorded.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is too. We've got, there's large gaps in the archive where the recording bot crashed or somebody's lost the episodes or.
And for a while, you were running a digital recorder through shit to record things, and.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes that didn't get hit record when we were talking.
Oh, Psychros is flashing my screen. What? Oh, BitTorrent sync. Again, that requires somebody tracking them all down and getting them in one place.
I think RU might have most of them.
Well, I know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does, but he's had a couple hardware failures.
Oh, yeah.
He's not exactly in the best location to get them from.
Oh, no, I'm not thinking we'd be doing it anytime soon. God, no.
I mean, it would be like a year to get them from him. Not to mention, I think, isn't he on one of those nasty ISPs that bills by the bit?
It's Australia, so yes.
And I mean, I know Swab's got a large chunk of them, but he's got the same problem.
Sucks. The way you would do it, I would mail him a micro SD card.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only way to do it, is either you fly down there with physical media, or you mail it down to him.
Like, here's a micro SD card and a return envelope.
And we make sure at least half of this drive is not filled with penis pictures and has the IHN shows on.
Well, that's the problem. You'd get it, it'd have most of the IHN shows, and then God knows what else on it.
Yeah.
And the what else would also be labeled IHN shows, just so we might click on it.
Like, what is that? That is several terabytes of Harlequin babies.
Oh, no, he won't touch those. I've scared him away from those.
And you didn't, you didn't know what those things were until I bitched about Big sending me those things.
Oh, yeah, and then I found them, and then he was like, what's a Hardcoin baby? It took me 3 days, but he eventually clicked on a link I post. First Lord 2 days, he's like, shit. Nope, I know what you're trying to do. Third day, completely forgot.
Everyone lowers their guard sometime.
You know, I just realized I have a what is that, Flare? On this G15 subreddit? The G15 Fearful Leader. Where the hell did that come from? Fearful Leader. I like it.
Yeah, Big Brother's Public Relations, Warps, yep, Fearful Leader, Swab's Cutting for Bieber.
Well, he is Canadian.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good thing he's not brining for Bieber.
No, that's breast cancer. This October, guys, is a birthday present. Can we do that?
I'm afraid people might actually die.
I know they will. I know. There'll be a long string of deaths attributed to this. I just don't think we can be held responsible.
Okay, fine. But if we're going to do this, we have to start up YouTube cartoons. We have to, like, you know, like Sargon and Bering and guys who should do that kind of shit. It's like, that's the only way you're going to get it popular. We're going to have to come up with cartoon characters. Go take pictures of the old Second Life avatars.
Oh, God.
I doubt they'd even still work. Be amazing. Log in, see what you look like now. It's like, oh, well, that's broken.
Yeah.
That's all I got. That's enough bullshit. Does anybody else have anything before I play the cricket and the Pac-Man noise here?
Nope.
Unless you have a Metroid sound.
Oh!
It died today.
I don't have any Metroid sounds, do I? I've got Mario, Pac-Man. I don't have any Metroid. You're right. I gotta make new sound clips. I'm gonna redo the workspace anyways, and we're going to ditch this old broadcast box. It's done its job, but I'm really the only one who uses it, so there's no point in setting it up the way I do right now. And so it's going to be easier on me to run, for one. And two, instead of using TeamViewer, I'm just going to turn to the left. There will be the broadcast box. So, and I'll see if I can come up with some new sound effects, and maybe I ought to do a new intro song, too. I mean, we've only been using, you know, Tax art, pure decking track for, good God, how long have we been doing this show? 5 years?
I mean, but it fits. It fits so well.
It does. It does fit. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll have some fun with it. So, anyways, that's all I got for tonight.
I have testicular cancer.